Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Oli, pastor of High Life Christian Center. And what I'm just doing today is just giving you an overview of what we discussed when we had our Bible study on WebEx on Friday. Our Bible studies are done on WebEx. It's an online forum where you can log in between 8:30 p.m. to 9:45. So if you're interested, just send me your email and I'll email you a login so that you can be a part of the discussion. We have been looking at 1 Corinthians for quite a while, and it has been such a blessing. Sadly, this is my first podcast on what we've been doing. I think last week I did a short write-up on some aspects of chapter 7. So, I'm going to read the whole chapter and just make a few comments, and you can just read along or go and do your own research and check things out. But it's such a blessing. It makes you see how it is important for us as Christians to not become so individualistic where we think it's all about us, our needs, our rights. And what is so funny is I actually told the church that we should jump chapter 9 and go to chapter 10 because that also talks about food, sacrifice to idols. But when you actually read chapter 9, it is not out of place. It's actually in sync with the same thought that you should not just think about yourself, but think about others and live your life in such a way that it doesn't become a stumbling block to other believers' faith, particularly those who are weak in faith. So I'm going to read chapter 8, and I'm reading the New Living Translation, second edition, the 2007 update. It says, "Now regarding your question about food that has been sacrificed to idols," because obviously the church at the time raised the question to Paul about this. "Yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important," or some translation says knowledge puffs up, "it is love that strengthens the church," or some translation, "love builds," or "love edifies." Excuse me. "Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and that there is only one God. And that's just great. And that is the Jewish perspective to things being brought even into the Christian faith, and Paul bringing this to his audience in Corinth. There is only one God. You know, we know that an idol is not really a god. It can't speak, it can't talk, it's wood or metal or whatever material they may use to make that idol. He says, "There may be so-called gods, both in heaven and on earth," because of, you know, Greek mythology, you know, and all the stuff that they came up with in those days. "And some people actually worship many gods and many lords," because that's what people did back then. It says, "But we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for him. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything, and through whom we have been given life. However," and we noted verse 7 in this when we had the discussion, it says, "However, not all believers know this, or not many have this knowledge," in other translations. It says, "Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as a worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated or defiled," like some translations will say. So, and it was a case that some people were so trapped in the mindset that the idols were real, considering the fact that a bulk of his audience who were in the church in Corinth came from the background of idol worship. That was the legacy of idol worship on their mindset. And it became a problem eating food that has been sacrificed to idols. In those days, the meat in the town, normally before it's killed, let me rephrase this, the meat that was sold in the market came from the temple. In fact, some of the temples had temple restaurants where people actually ate. A lot of the meat had already passed through the temple before it hit the market. And these were some of the things that these people had to deal with within their social context. It says, verse 8, "It is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat," which is absolutely true. "We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. So it doesn't really matter." But verse 9 is key and it's critical. It says, "But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. And that is a place where we all miss it. You have to think about others. You can't just say, it's my life. I remember, is it a singer? Dr. Aban says, it's my life, it's my life. In Christ, it's not just about you. You have to be considerate about the impact of your behavior on fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this was the thing. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. Are there areas in our life where there are certain things we engage in that are not necessarily sin, but is causing somebody else with a weaker conscience who probably had a problem with those pleasures or those things, and it has the potential to make them stumble? Verse 10, it says, for if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And I think sometimes we because we've become a lot more corporate in our church settings nowadays, we tend to forget that the people that we share this relationship with the Lord, Christ actually died for them like he died for us. And we tend to lose sight of that when it comes to our behavior or the things that we engage in. And what Paul is trying to say is that, look, Christ actually died for that brother and sister. While you're flaunting your superior knowledge and thinking you know it all, and you think that, well, it's okay for me to do that because I'm free in Christ, what about the other brother or sister? What about their faith? Where's the love in being considerate by denying yourself pleasure just so that the brother does not destroy or violate his conscience? Verse 12, when you sin against other believers, wow, when you what? He says, yeah, when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. Bottom line is that those Christians at the time believed that if they eat that idol, if they eat the food offered to an idol, as far as they're concerned, it's a sin. As far as they're concerned, it's wrong. And what Paul is saying is that if by your action you encourage them or embolden them to do something that is likely to destroy or mess up their faith in the Lord, you're sinning against them. And not just that, you're sinning against Christ. Wow. You see, it just lets you see that our walk with God is not just about us. We've got to consider other people's faith in the Lord or where those people are in their walk with God. Verse 13. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. I mean, this used to be a big thing back in the day when I got saved, where certain people might not go to certain places, might not visit certain entertainment centers, all because they don't want another brother or sister to stumble. Not because it was wrong, but because they were considerate about the younger people in Christ. And when I mean younger people in Christ, not necessarily in age, but people who are new to the faith and people who have a certain propensity towards a certain sin based on the environment they might be in. And so they would refrain from certain actions. I know I'm not really categorizing right now, but all I want to say is we have to consider where other people are in their walk with God and not just think about ourselves. Let's not just think about ourselves. Yes, we live in an individualistic society where people, it's all about me, my feelings, how I feel, you know. Hey, it's not about you. It's about your brother and sister in Christ. It's about others. And I think I believe when you look at the scripture, that's what Paul is trying to tell these people. Yes, you might have knowledge. It might not be wrong for you to eat meat sacrificed to an idol. It's not sin. But if you know there's a brother who has doubts about it, then bro or sister, be considerate. Think about their faith. Think about their spiritual growth and their spiritual enrichment, and not just to please your own flesh or please your own self. Well, this is me signing out. We will be looking at chapter 9 and chapter 10 over the next 2 weeks or so, and we'll wrap this all up. We'll be looking at chapter 9 this coming Friday, and we'll be looking at chapter 10 hopefully the following Friday if we get there. But I'm sure that a lot more things will become clearer. Should a Christian smoke? Well, by the time we get to chapter 10, we'll see. Should a Christian drink or not drink? Because there are certain things in Scripture that are not, thou shalt not. If you choose not to do it, there's a good reason not to. Well, this is me signing out. Have a great week, and remember, the Lord is your strength, and it's all about Christ in you, expressing himself through you. Stay blessed and remain strong in the Lord. Catch you on Friday.